Mark chapter 4, if you have a Bible. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Do we have anybody that needs a Bible? Anybody need a Bible here? All right, we've got one that needs a Bible. Brother Tejada, Mrs. Gutierrez needs a Bible. Thank you for that. Mark chapter number 4 will be there in just a moment. I did mention we have guests with us today. And we have Brother Dondi and his family over here in the right wing, as we'll call him. And P.O.'s got his he's got his Frisbee up there ready to go, and that's good. And his wife, Liz, they have just moved to B.C. from Ontario a few weeks ago. And they were from London, Ontario, and were attending. Pastor Phil Palace was their pastor there. And my wife and I went to Bible college with Phil and his wife just a couple years ago. I think it was actually about 30 years ago. But anyway, and so we're so glad to have you with us today. Thank you for coming. And then is it Blake? Good. Good to see you, Blake. I know you reserved a seat. Thank you so much for coming today. We're glad to have you as well. Make sure that they get a visitor packet. Maybe they already did. And they all get a Frisbee. And we have a few left over, all right? And so we need to use those. So again, we welcome you to Anchor Baptist Church. Yes, thank you for coming to be a part of this meeting. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Today's lesson is consider his presence. Consider his presence. All throughout this series, of course, we're looking at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his main goal when he was on earth was to do his Father's work. His Father's business is what he even said himself. And he said that to his parents. Remember that? In Luke's Gospel, he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" That's when he was 12 years old. So, wow, what a powerful statement from a young man, but the God-man, right? And his life was on a divine timetable. It was a unique timetable. It was going according to the will of God perfectly. And you know, the thing I like about is studying the life of Christ and what I want to see in my own life is that every step of his life was on and with purpose. It was on and with purpose. Think about your life. And the past is the past, okay? It's done. We can't do anything with it. We can learn from it. We can be thankful for it. But we can't change the past. But what we can do with the Lord's help is every day God gives us, make sure that we live it with and on purpose. You just get up in the morning and just say, okay, que sera, sera, whatever happens, happens. Yes, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, but that's where we're yielding our will over to the will of God for every day. And we follow the path that he has for us, whatever it may be. Well, in this time of Christ's ministry, there's quite a bit of miracles that are happening. In fact, in this particular text of Scripture, we're coming down to the end of a very busy day of ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had. If you look at verse number 35, God's Word says, in the same day, so basically after all this labor has been done, after these miracles have been done, the same day when the even was come, it's talking about at night, toward the night, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's a key statement in this Bible lesson today, is that statement right there. Let us pass over unto the other side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of the word of God. Thank you that we have as believers the Holy Spirit of God to help us to understand what you have for us. And I pray that we would be emptied of ourselves today, listener and speaker alike, filled with your spirit, and that even in this beginning part of the service, God, that something, you would do something of great value and work in our life, and we would hear it, and we would heed it, and we would obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesus Christ, the day of ministry has gone by, and he tells his disciples, okay, we're going to cross the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to go to the other side. We're going to pass over to the other side, and that's exactly what they did. They got into a boat. Possibly you've read this account, and they passed over to the other side. But some things happened along the way. Look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Now, I've not done a lot of sailing, but that's a problem. If the water's in the boat, that's a problem. The water's not supposed to be in the boat. It's supposed to be in the sea, right? But it was such a powerful storm that the water's coming into the boat, so that it was now full. The water is in the boat. It's full of water. That's, again, not a good thing, right? And he was in the hinder part, Jesus, speaking of, in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Isn't that something? Asleep on a pillow. Well, the reason why he was asleep on the pillow is because he had already told them, we're going to the other side. And this is the Son of God. So he knows he's going to the other side. He knows, in the end, he knows that the will of his Father is Calvary. And so what a statement is made there. And so I want to challenge us by way of an outline. Let's look at this outline, but let's let God's word speak to our heart. Let's learn today that we need God every day. Let's learn today that there's no way we can navigate by ourselves. You know, if you've ever heard somebody say, maybe not quite like this, the English isn't the best, I got this. Maybe you've heard that term. You know, to be honest, we don't have it. We have nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so I don't have this. You know, whatever husband, a father, a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a brother and sister in Christ, you know, whatever profession you're in, we don't have it. And so I pray that this lesson will once again remind us of that. Number one is the reality of storms. The reality of storms. So notice something. Jesus is on the boat, and that doesn't negate a storm coming. Who's inside us as believers? Who knows? Who's in us? The Holy Spirit of God. So if Jesus Christ is in the boat here on the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes, then we know today that it doesn't matter that we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. There is a reality of storms that can come into our life just like that. And that's what we'll talk about here in just a moment. Let's not assume, though, if you're in the midst of a storm, let's not assume today that that you have sinned against God. As I look at this particular account, the disciples were obeying Jesus. Let us get into the boat and go to the other side. What did they do? They got into the boat. Jesus knew a storm was coming. They may not have known a storm was coming, although many of them were used to being on the water, right? So I want to encourage you, though, with the fact that trials and trouble do not mean you're under God's judgment. Not necessarily, okay? But don't assume that. That's our nature, I think, many times is, you know, a trial and a trouble comes in. What am I doing wrong? You might be doing everything right. Jesus was with them. They were obeying him. They were following what he said to do, and it still came up a storm. Letter A, these storms of life that come in can be unpredictable. Unpredictable, letter A. The Sea of Galilee is 732 feet below sea level. It's known for its ferocious winds. I believe the disciples knew that, as many of them being fishermen. But when these storms and these winds came, they immediately forgot somehow. And again, I'm not picking on the disciples because I've been there too, and so have you. Maybe not in the middle of a boat on the Sea of Galilee. I've never been over to that part of the world. But maybe in the middle of a trial or a trouble, we immediately forget who's with us. That's what they did. They immediately forgot who was with them, and they went into panic mode. And by the way, this storm coming in was, again, not a surprise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember the promise that he made. Let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. God in his Son, Jesus Christ, we know this. Again, isn't it? We have a little bit of an advantage on these disciples, and that's that we know the rest of the story. They didn't. But they did have the Son of God right there with them, okay? What does it remind us of when the storms of life come? What does it remind us of? It reminds us how much we need God's help. You know, I say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, God the Father, for the last 15, 16 months of my life personally. It's reminded me of a lot of things. And I'm not where I need to be at all. Pray for me. I need to be closer to the Lord. I need to be further away from the world. I need to die to self every day. Don't you? This old self, as soon as you wake up, it's alive again. That's terrible. I wish we could just kill it once and then it would be done. But that's not what happens. It comes back up and rears its ugly head. It says, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want to do what I want to do. We have to say no. Someone prayed earlier today here in our prayer meeting, less of us and more of you, something like that. God, less of us and more of you. That's what we need. Sometimes it takes a little bit of wind for us to realize that. Sometimes it takes various things. The unpredictable storms are God's predictable way of helping us. The unpredictable storms are God's predictable way of helping us to do what? Become more like Jesus. Or like the Master I would ever be. That's what we want. More like the Lord. More humility. More zeal to labor. More courage. So they're unpredictable. Letter B, they're unmerciful. They can be unmerciful. Storms do not respect persons. They can come at any time. We've said that. Storms can fill us up just like it filled up the boat. The water was filling up. Mark 4:37. We read it earlier. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Unmerciful. This brought great alarm to the disciples as it would to anyone. Their boat was overwhelmed. Many times, this is where we get. I would say many people are overwhelmed, maybe even right now. And unfortunately, many people turn to all sorts of things for helping them to not be overwhelmed. It's kind of like getting out a Band-Aid, hoping that it'll cure everything. Isn't it amazing when you're a child what a Band-Aid will do? If I could just get a Band-Aid. You know, as a child, oh, I need a Band-Aid. And it's just all of a sudden, boom. Man, if that were the case, I'd buy stock in Band-Aids and buy all of them, you know. You'd see me next week walking around just covered in Band-Aids. I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about strength, spiritually. Just buy some Band-Aids. It doesn't work quite like that, right? But unfortunately, many people today in society turn to things that aren't going to help when a storm comes. Some people think that a bottle, and I'm not talking about a young child's bottle either. I'm talking about alcohol. Many people think that's going to help. Many people think drugs are going to help. Many people think living in immorality and doing whatever I want to do, if I could just somehow get some peace. We know that doesn't help. That's the lie of the devil. And I hope and pray that as Christians we recognize that. You know, let's just not point at the lost world and say, yeah, they have all these addictions. How many of us have addictions that are not honoring to the Lord? It's a nice time to talk about RU, amen, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Join us online. Come to RU this Friday night, 7 o'clock. Praise the Lord for what God is doing. You know, sometimes when challenges come into our life, we immediately think, I've got to change something. You know, I've got to get a new job. I've got to get a new vehicle. I've got to move. I've got to go to a different church. Let's just change everything. Does that really help in the long run? Because really what needs to change isn't my surroundings. What needs to change is me. Don't seek to change the circumstances. Ask God to change your heart. In fact, count it all joy, James said, when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy. Divers means various kinds. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, James 1, worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature, and entire, wanting nothing. No matter how much trials fill us up, keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. God has allowed it for a purpose. God has allowed it for my good and His glory. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Don't forget who's with you. Don't go running around wondering, where did God go? God's right there. He's given you His Spirit as a Christian. And He's given me His Spirit, and He's also given me His Word. And boy, I tell you, with the power of the Word of God, having the Holy Spirit of God, think about what these men had just seen. If you go back, we don't have time today, but if you go back and read all through Mark 4, they saw Him cast out demons. They saw Him perform other miracles. And now they forgot that He said, we're going to the other side. And again, I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying we are guilty of the same things, that we will have a spiritual mountaintop and we'll be on the winning side, that great song that we like to sing. But then all of a sudden, boom, here comes the wind. Don't forget, the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. He's right there. And we praise Him for it. So let's keep moving, though. We're running out of time. Number one, the reality of storms. Number two, the request of the fearful. The request of the fearful. Verse 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and saying to Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Where is Jesus in the midst of a wild storm? He's asleep. Why? Because He has the calm assurance that His Heavenly Father is in control. You know, I like that little song, My Father Planned It All. My Father Planned It All. This is a perfect example of My Father Planned It All. By the way, your life today is an example of My Father Planned It All. Letter A, they request His attention. They request His attention. Any circumstance out of my control is in the will of God for me. I don't have to be able to figure it out. But I want to be able to figure it out, don't I? But I don't have to. I don't have to be able to figure out God's direction at the very moment that something comes. I don't know what God is doing, but I can place my confidence in Him. I can cast a care on Him, for He cares for me, 1 Peter 5:7. In other words, they've come to Jesus basically and questioned, does He really love them? Do you care? You know, think about it. They're asking the One who is the originator of love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. They're asking the One who is the originator of love, do you care? Think about how maybe we've come to the Lord at times like that. God, did you forget about me? No, God didn't forget about you. God loves you. God gave His Son to die for you, and to be cruelly mocked and unjustly crucified and give His life a ransom for many. And you're part of that many if you've been saved. And praise God for that. And so these things that come into my life, we should not so quickly say, take them away. Because it could be that God wants to strengthen me. God, keep it in me as long as it needs to be in me and on me. But we know He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. Equip me to be what You want me to be. They request His attention. Letter B, they request His help. They request His help. Carest thou not that we perish? Humble enough, here we're challenged to be humble enough to ask Him for help that only He can give. Turn over to James 1, please. James chapter number 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do you lack wisdom? I can give you the answer. We all do. And God says, ask. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I'm glad that we don't serve a distant God. I'm glad that we don't serve the God of heaven that's playing hide and seek. He's not. He's constantly revealing himself. In fact, he's even doing that to the lost people that we have around us. He's revealed himself to them, and we've talked about that, but we won't re-talk about it right now. But he's not hiding. He's not hiding from you. He's not hiding from me. He's not hiding from these young people. It's good to see many children in the house of the Lord today. Praise the Lord for the next generation. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to have them. And we're nobody, and we're not worthy. But as God is taking you as an adult through a storm, I want you to know something. You may have a child or a grandchild or someone in the church that's watching you go through a storm. You can go through the storm with great grace and the power of God, not just for yourself, but for those that are watching. Because they're watching. I go back to my own childhood and think about times and watching my mom and dad, and again, not perfect examples, no one is, but I remember their faith many times. And maybe there wasn't a whole lot to go around, and I'm talking about finances. I remember their faith. Just keep going to church, keep reading God's word, keep praying, keep tithing, keep giving, keep loving, keep serving over and over again. Get in the Bible. God takes care of us. God takes care of us. He's there to help. Remember Peter? Great faith. Boy, I tell you. Talk about stepping out of the boat in the middle of a storm. Unfortunately, he started to sink, right? He just cried out to the Lord. Guess what happened? The Lord said, no. The Lord gave him his hand, helped him up. The Lord's there to help. You see, the opportunity of the storm is to help us, to strengthen us, and we have a privilege of bringing more glory to God when these challenging times come, that we remain faithful in the midst of it. And then all the glory goes back to God. All the blessing goes back to God. He requests his help. So the reality of storms, Jesus is on the boat, and so the Holy Spirit's in each of us that are saved. Those of you joining us online today, if you're saved, you have God's Spirit in you, but it doesn't mean the storms are going to just bypass you or bypass me. So the reality of it. Number two, the request of the fearful. I'm glad that even though sometimes I let fear get into my life, that when I go to God in weak, anemic faith even, God still answers. God still provides. And that's where we see number three, the response of the Savior. Verse 39, if you want to go back to our text. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind. Think of this now. Can you see this? Try to picture this. You're on the boat. There's water in the boat. You've just gone down and you've awoken the master. Don't you care about us? He comes out and rebukes the wind. Then he says unto the sea, peace, be still. And what happened? The wind ceased. And there was a great calm. As we consider the response of the Savior, I want to encourage us all this morning to consider the power of the Savior. Consider the power in this storm. Standing on that little ship, He didn't do anything dramatic in the sense of he just spoke. Does it remind you of another time when God just spoke? 6 days he spoke. Remember? And God said, and it was so. In the evening and the morning of the first day. You see, the power of the voice of God spoke this world into existence that we live in today. The only big bang that happened was the voice of Almighty God. When he said all that he said there in the book of Genesis, and here we have what we have today, and that same power is available right there on this little boat on the Sea of Galilee. By the way, on the way to do something even, another great miracle in the Gadarenes. You see, some of this whole thing about storms is God is bringing you through the storm. He's with us in the storm. But on the other shore, he has something for us to do that if we haven't gone through the storm, we're not going to be able to do what he has for us on the shore. And that's where that maniac of Gadara is healed. That's where they're headed, by the way. The power, though. Letter A, he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. What does this rebuke word here means? To charge sharply. He spoke with authority to the winds and they obeyed him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the what? The air. It says in the book of Revelation during the great tribulation that there will be demonic powers that will cause great winds to come and bring famine and desperate times on the earth. But here in the account of the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has power over all. The prince and power of the air, Satan is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is no match for him. And by the way, there is something more to this than maybe what meets the eye. Maybe you already see this. But do you realize that there is one goal that Satan has for the life of Jesus Christ? Keep him from the cross. Satan knows God's word. In fact, Satan probably knows God's word better than you do or I do. I hope not, but it could be. He knows what's coming, right? And so here is the Lamb of God in the bottom of the boat. And so the prince and power of the air, I don't know. But I know this, it was keep him from the cross. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to, remember, he lived every day on and with purpose. And the purpose of his life was to get to the cross. It wasn't necessarily the miracles. It wasn't necessarily all of those encompassing. It wasn't performing these things. It was get to the cross, get to the cross. And here Jesus says to the wind, you know, verse number 39, he rebukes the wind. Satan will never have victory over Jesus Christ. Satan may be the prince and power of the air, but our God is the creator of the universe. And remember, the theme of the lesson today is remember Christ's presence. Don't allow the wind to cause you to forget Jesus is with us all the way in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't allow the water even getting into your boat to help to cause you to forget that Jesus Christ and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are with us. He has the power over all. By the way, the devil's goal for you and me as Christians, keep us from glorifying God. Keep us from glorifying God. He cannot take your soul with him to hell. Hallelujah. We believe the Bible teaches eternal security. I am secure not in me, I am secure in Christ. I don't have to hold on to him, I'm in his hand. John 10 and other places. So what does Satan want to do? Satan wants me to live my life that does not make God look good. He wants me to live my life in a way that makes the God of heaven look bad. That's what mean bringing glory to God is. Live my life. This is how I'm living my life. Not because I've determined to live my life this way. It's because God is helping me. It's because God's Spirit is inside of me. And I have a past. And yes, you have a past. But oh, because of the grace of God, we can live in victory. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. That includes spiritual power. Jesus Christ is over all powers. There are many powers. There are many fallen angels. There's many, we say, demons. The prince and power of the air. There is a battle that's going on even right now. You can't see it and I can't see it, but we know it's there. As God's word tells us it is. And even at times when a prayer is going up, and the prayers of God's people are going up, and there's a battle that's even going on then. He rebuked the wind. Hey, remember today, church, remember today that the power of the Lord is in us. Not to do things to bring glory to ourselves, but to say no to sin and say yes to Christ, giving God the glory. Let her be. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the sea. The word peace here means silence. It means hush. It means muteness. Involuntary stillness. Inability to speak. A word came to my mind. I won't use it because we told our kids not to say it. And my parents told me not to say it. If somebody was blabbering and you tell them to be quiet, maybe you can think about what it. But don't think about it. Just pass it on, okay? We don't use that language in our house. But Jesus said, peace, be still. He caused the waves to stop. He muzzled them. He put them in muteness. As we go through the storms, rather than cowering in fear, trust in your all-powerful Savior. There are many seasons of life that we'll go through. Anchor Baptist Church, we're in year 21 now of ministry, and praise the Lord. All sorts of seasons, and that picture that you gave with the locations of where we've met, it doesn't even include all of them, but if you put all of them on there, it would be the size of this wall over here, and so you had to narrow it down, good choices, but I look at that, and there's all kinds of seasons in a church, seasons in your life, and seasons in my life. I wrote this down in the notes here. Maybe you'll think about it with me. Fear is a reaction. Faith is a choice. And the choice isn't about me. The choice is about Christ. Fear is a reaction. Faith is a choice. Are you going to let the devil bring fear in, or are you going to say no? I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, faith. It's the victory that overcomes the world. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, faith. It's how you got saved. It's how I got saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. But it's how we live our life every day. What time I am afraid, the psalmist said, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. Let her see, he then challenged the disciples. Verse 40, isn't that a, wow. And he said unto them, why are ye so, what's the next word, church? Fearful. How is it that ye have no faith? Wow. Again, we've all been there. Where fear overpowers faith. But we want to today, with the Lord's help, say, I don't want to go there as often as maybe I have. I want to go to faith and not to fear. Psalm 46, would you turn over there quickly? Psalm 46. Here's the promise. Maybe it's a promise you've underlined in your Bible. If not, allow God to underline it in our hearts. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. I like this word, very. A very present emphasis. Help in trouble. Therefore will not we, what? Fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We serve a powerful, almighty God who is stronger than every power of this world. Fear pushed away their faith. May we today say, I want my faith in the Lord, not in me. I want my faith in God and in His Word and in His promises to cancel out my fear. And it will. If God, and we know God can, if God says, I can feed the sparrows, we see those beautiful, I guess, that's stretching it a little bit, beautiful crows. All of God's creatures are beautiful. Amen. And sometimes in the morning when I'm on the back porch and I'm trying to have a quiet moment, the crows say, no quiet moment. Because we're up now too. And especially when two of them are up and they're talking to each other. And I'm like, if I only, never mind. I wouldn't know how to use it if I had one. So if it, maybe you know what I'm talking about. I probably didn't know what I'd do with it. But you see, those creatures are the smartest, some of the smartest things in the world. Obnoxious, loud, et cetera, et cetera. But they're smart. They figure out how to get what they want. God put that in them. God put that in them. It didn't evolve over the last 10 million, billion years. God put that in them. If God can take care of equipping a crow, come on now. If God can feed the sparrow, much better. If God can take care of the smallest of creatures, we're the only ones created in His image. We're the only ones with a body, soul, and spirit. We're the only ones that He would send His Son to die for, so that we could have all eternity with Him. I don't think if you zoom in as human as close as you can, I don't think the storm right now is as bad as we think it is. Because He's taking care of us, whether it's a storm or whether it's calm. The Bible says here, and they feared exceedingly. I like this statement. And said one to another, what manner of man is this? I've underlined that. What manner of man is this? The God-man, equal with God the Father, equal with God the Holy Spirit, conceived of the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the bright and morning star. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the creator of the world, and He's there for you and for me right now. Consider Christ